Turn again to the Gospel according to Luke, to chapter 4, from where we read, and we shall read verses 40 and 41. Luke chapter 4, verses 40 and 41. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. People of Capernaum, we're not going to let this great day end. And it was a Sabbath day. They were not going to let it end without obtaining a blessing for those who were in dire need of a blessing. There were those that they had who were sick with diverse diseases. And when the sun was setting, they brought those unto Christ. And Christ was not going to let that day end either without bestowing a blessing on all these diseased ones that were brought to him, because he laid his hands on every one of them without exception and healed them. He healed them all. And there were those too that were demon possessed. And they too were going to have a blessing. The devil was going to get a rebuke before that day ended. With the sun setting, the devils also came out of many. They had no choice. They were forced out by Christ's powerful word. And they came out crying out, that is shrieking, and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. But the Savior was not going to end that day having testimony given to him out of the mouth of devils. He, rebuking them, suffered them not, allowed them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. The devils knew who they had. They had Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. The power that they met with that day was divine power, was messianic power, was the power that saves sinners and casts out devils and heals diseases, that can heal not only physical diseases of the body, but which heals spiritual diseases of the soul. The people of Capernaum had already, some of them, seen and heard a devil cast out, a man with the unclean spirit in the synagogue earlier that day. And how the Savior had cast him out. And how amazed and astonished they were. What a word is this? With authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits. And they came out. But the people of Capernaum knew what to do. They acted on that. Are we acting on that, friends? They had others that were possessed still with devils. They brought them to Christ, that they too might enjoy those blessings. What are we doing? We're not talking about demon possession anymore. We're talking about devilish characteristics. We're talking about demonic influences. We're talking about thinking and living and acting and speaking as if we were devils rather than men. What will we do from what we've learned of what took place in the Capernaum synagogue that day? Have we been amazed and astonished at it to such a degree that we're coming with the relics of our own devilish nature to have the devil more and more cast out? What are we doing? Bringing our loved ones that are still under the sway of the devil. Are we bringing them to Christ? Are we going to let this day end without bringing them to Christ, that he might cast out the devil all over again? And then they'd heard, no doubt, of what had taken place in Simon Peter's house, where his mother-in-law had been lying so sick, dangerously sick, with a fever that had the full control of her body, and perhaps of her mind as well, it bringing delirium with it, as it usually does. And they were not going to let the day end, having heard of how he healed her, and healed her immediately, and healed her completely, without any need for a period of convalescence. She was immediately well, and able to rise up and minister to them, and serve in that house. The people were amazed when they heard of it, but the people of Capernaum knew what to do. They had a man in the town that day that had power over diseases as well as over devils. Well, they had people with diseases. They had people in their homes. Just like Peter had a mother-in-law in his home. They had diseases among themselves. And they were not going to let the day end. But as the sun was setting, they bring all the diseased ones, all those sick, with all kinds of different diseases, and lay them before the Saviour, looking to him to heal them too, looking to him to lay his hands upon each one of them in turn, as he did, that they also might be healed. As we come to this measure of wisdom, friends, that when we hear of the great works of Christ, that he's done for others, that he did do for others, have we done the sensible and the wise thing of coming to him ourselves, of bringing our loved ones to him as well, that he might do for us and for those that we have, still diseased with sin, still under the sway of the devil? Are we bringing these? Are we bringing ourselves to Christ? Are we making sure that by the time the sun sets today, this Sabbath day, that we'll be found at the feet of Christ, that we'll be there and our loved ones will be there, that the poor and needy will be blessed and helped and delivered from the devil and healed of their diseases? You see, it's one thing to learn of what the Scripture teaches. It's one thing to learn about the life of Christ and to hear of his healing works and so on, and of his exorcisms and casting out devils. It's another thing entirely to act upon that for ourselves, to do something about it for our own souls, to do something about it for those we care about, to follow in their steps, who have set us an example to follow. Now, the people of Capernaum, as we know, largely were unspiritual, though exalted to heaven with their privileges. And it clearly came to Christ, many of them, only for earthly deliverances. But at least they had wisdom enough to do that. Surely, we, with all the knowledge we have and all the warnings we have, ought to be seeking out spiritual cures and spiritual deliverances from diseases and devils. The Saviour can handle both. He dealt with the diseases, whatever they were, and he healed them. And he dealt with the devils, whoever they were, and he cast them out. And he can do the same for us. And he can do the same for those that we should be praying for and bringing to him. And therefore, let's observe Christ, and as we do so, apply these things to ourselves by availing ourselves of the same provisions, the same abilities of Christ and powers, the same willingnesses and compassions that are displayed here in Christ. Let us bring our own poor selves to him. Let us bring our own poor and needy ones to him, as we look first of all at Christ dealing with diseases, and then secondly at Christ dealing with devils or demons. Christ dealing with diseases, and Christ dealing with devils. Well, he's dealing with the diseases. Let's look at what the text says about these diseases. When the sun was setting, verse 40, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. Any that had in their homes, those that were sick, the idea is that they were weak, they were infirm. Disease had so ravaged their bodies physically that they were now weakened. They could hardly bring themselves to Christ. They were sick. They had to be brought. And they were sick and weak and infirm through diverse diseases. All different kinds of disease. The town of Capernaum that day was like a hospital. Just like any town. Any place of any size in this fallen world. It's like a hospital. If we knew all the diseases and all the sicknesses that would be behind the closed doors of Barnoldswick or of whatever place we've come from today to attend worship in this place. Because of sin, because of the ravages of sin, sickness and disease are doing their work. It's not only in the hospitals, it's in the homes as well, in the bodies of men and women and boys and girls. Sickness is at work, disease is at work in this fallen world. And that brings infirmity, and that brings weakness, and that brings weariness. All kinds of disease. Now spiritually, as we're meant to apply this, sickness, disease, and the weakness that it brings, biblically, is not just a consequence of sin, although we should be very careful before we say, this person's sickness is because of that person's particular sin, yet what we can definitely always say, every sickness, every disease is in the world, and in men's bodies as a whole, because sin is in men's bodies. Because sin is at work. The disease of wickedness is in their hearts. And that's why then various diseases are at work in their bodies. Cancer is at work in the bodies of men. That would never have happened if the cancer of sin and the gangrene of corruption had not taken hold upon the hearts of fallen men. But that's just part of the teaching of Scripture. That all the suffering is as a consequence of sin. But disease and sickness, biblically, is also a picture of sin. It's a representation of wickedness. The corruption of the body is a picture of the corruption of the soul. The diseases we suffer in our bodies and see others suffering in their bodies, it's pointing us to the sin which our souls are suffering under. The wickedness, the corruption that's at work within us. For a disease, says David in Psalm 38, and he's not talking so much about his body, but his soul. For a disease that loathsome is, so fills my loins with pain, that in my weak and weary flesh, no soundness doth remain. There you've got the connection between the body and the soul and the weakness, the sickness that the disease brings. But it's spiritual disease. Sin, the picture of the leper in the Old Testament, such a clear picture of sin and sinfulness, particularly its uncleanness, unclean, unclean, the leper had to say. Because the disease in his body was a picture of the disease in his soul. The physical disease of leprosy that was indescribably awful was picturing the indescribably awful disease of iniquity working within the leper's soul and working within your soul and my soul and everyone's soul as well. one man only, exempted of all mankind from that. The man Christ Jesus, but all the rest of us, we're spiritual lepers. The disease of sin, working within our hearts. All they that had any sick with diverse diseases. In general, it's the disease of sin, but in particular, it's diverse diseases. This man, it's the sin of hatred and murder that grips his heart the most, and hatred of others and criticism of others and carping at others. That's what's got a grip on him. And then on this other man, it's uncleanness and lusts of the flesh that grips him. And for this other man, it's covetousness and greed and avarice that grips him. And for another man, it's selfishness and pride and putting down of others in order to put himself up and so on. Whatever disease it is that is gripping us, we're sick with it. All we like sheep have gone astray, that is, we've all got the disease of sin. And we've turned everyone to his own way. We've got different diseases that are making us sick. The sin, the corruption of your nature compared to the corruption of my nature, looked at from one point of view, is exactly the same. From another point of view, in you it inclines you in one direction sinfully. In me it inclines me in another direction sinfully. We turn everyone to his own way. Whatever it is. In another, it's the sin of lying and of untruth. Deceitfulness. This word cannot be trusted. Whatever it is. It's a disease, and it's a vile disease, this sin. And here they were, being brought to Christ that evening, as the sun was setting. Any that were sick with diverse diseases were brought to Christ. Well, do you know the plague of your own heart? Do you know what particular sins they are that plague your life and plague your soul and make everybody around you so miserable? Have you come face to face with it? Sin, you see, like disease, when disease comes into a home, it brings upset, it brings grief, it brings inconvenience, it brings hardship for others in the home. These people of Capernaum knew that. What a difficulty it was. Now, they're not to be blamed directly for their diseases. But when we're talking about the disease of sin, it has an effect upon everyone around us. It has an effect upon our homes. It has an effect upon our loved ones. And it has a horrible effect. It's not only the expression of our own estate of sin and misery, but it brings misery. It brings grief. Sin. But here they are. And they're bringing them, who any of them that were sick with diverse diseases, they were bringing them to Christ. Here they had loved ones, here they had friends, here they had families that had not cast them off, that had not given up hope on them, but would take them to Christ before the day ended to make sure that what happened to Peter's mother-in-law would happen to them as well. And can you not have mercy, friend, upon your own soul? Here they were in Capernaum, having mercy upon the bodies of those that were sick in their homes. Can you not have mercy upon your own soul? Can you not see how sick it is with diverse diseases? Can you not see what sin is doing to you? O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help, the Lord is saying. Will you not yet be wise? Will you not yet have compassion upon your own soul? Will you not yet drag yourself, however you do it, to Jesus Christ, to be determined that by the end of this day you'll have dealings with him concerning the needs of your soul, concerning this disease that is progressively destroying you, that is going to carry you out of this world into eternal death. And then, if you think you've enjoyed the healing work of Christ, if you think then that your soul is to that degree able-bodied and has enjoyed healing from the Saviour, though there be much sin remaining, bring those remainders of the disease to Christ. Keep on having mercy on yourself, as it were. But all have a view to others. Have a view to those that are lost and ungodly and are still dead in trespasses and sins and who are under the dominion of their sin and who can't bring themselves to Christ and who won't bring themselves to Christ. Well then, bring them to Christ. Be much in prayer for them. Be much in asking the Lord to give you wisdom to know how to speak to them and how to lay them before Him to bring them to the Saviour. Parents, for your children, though in their bodies they may be well and healthy, you know what a concern it brings to you when their bodies are sick. What a concern that can bring. Well, how much that brings you to worry. Well, their souls are sick. Sick unto death. Sick with a worse sickness. A sickness that will not only bring them to physical death, but will bring them to eternal death if they're not delivered from it. Well, then have mercy upon your children. And in prayer and pleading before the Lord, and in instructing them, and in teaching them, and bringing them to the means of grace, and training them when they're at the means of grace to give attention to that means which God chiefly uses for saving people from their sins. Bring them to Christ. Lay them before Him. Christ is the one who deals with the diseases of people. Then let us bring ourselves, let us bring others, with all our diseases, weak and sick as we and they are, let us bring them to Him. There's no case too difficult for Him. Now, that's the disease then. What about Christ dealing with it? Well, what do we read? We're told that He laid His hands on every one of them and healed them. He healed them. Which ones did He heal? He healed them. That is, He healed all of them. Any that were sick with diverse diseases in that town of Capernaum were brought to Christ, and He laid His hands on every one of them, and He healed them all. There was no disease presented to Him which was above His power, that was beyond His wisdom, that brought Him to the limits of His patience. No disease stood in Capernaum that night. Every disease was banished. Every sickness was sent away. All were healed. All were well. By the end of that night in Capernaum, there was not a diseased person left. There was not a sick one in the town. Of all these that were brought to Christ, He healed every single one of them. There's no sin then. There's no disease of iniquity that is beyond Christ's power. There's no case that's too hard for Him to reach. No case that's too confusing or too complex that He in His grace and wisdom and power finds it too difficult to handle or to deal with. He never has to refer you to some specialist or to go for some tests anywhere. Come to Christ, friend, like they came in Capernaum. And you'll not have to be referred from the little local hospital there in Capernaum up to the big one in Jerusalem. Come to Christ and you've come to the healer. Come to Christ and you've come to the one that can deal with every disease of the soul, who has dealt with all the diseases of different souls over all the centuries and millennia, and therefore can deal with your particular disease, with your sin, or the particular disease and sin of those that you're burdened for, those that you're concerned about. You might fear that this case is too hard for him. You might fear your case is too hard for him. Well, that's the devil saying that, not the Bible. That's unbelief saying that, not faith. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. That is, healed every one of them. It was effectual in every case. Nobody was beyond the reach of his mercy. However far you've gone in sinness, however deep you've sunk into depravity, however wretched you might be, however long it's been going on, however aggravated it is, however much you're saying against yourself you're the chief of sinners, or afraid that some loved one is the chief of sinners, that's not true, that Christ cannot reach them. Chief of sinners you may well indeed be in your own eyes, but beyond the reach of Christ's mercy, never. Lift up your eyes and behold him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And he laid his hands on every one of them. Christ did not need to do that. There were times when he healed with just the word. There were times when he healed just by the expression of his will. But in this case, in these cases, one after another, he laid his hands on every one of them. The Greek is on each one of them. The idea being that he dealt with each one as an individual, as a personal case. A whole line of them, all lined up. In the surgery of the great physician there in Capernaum. And there was an individual appointment for each and every one that was brought. And the Saviour had a touch, a sympathetic, compassionate, loving and powerful and efficacious healing touch for each and every one of them as an individual. Then never think that Christ will not notice you. Never think that Christ will not notice your loved one. That's not the character of the Saviour we have in his word. It's a character where he's ready to deal with individuals on a personal basis, where he's got time for each one in turn. Then come, be knocking at his door, be seeking his face, be applying to him for yourself personally. Bring your loved ones, bring your children as individuals to him. Name names before him. Seek him to place his hand, his healing hand, on each one of them that they'd be healed of sin. What a touch of tenderness then. Healing them by individual touch. One commentator has said, these cries, that is, of these sicknesses, those cries pierced his inmost heart, the groans and cries of all that collective misery filled his soul with pity. His hands reaching out and being laid upon each a case of misery in turn speaks of the heart of Christ, tells you how he was moved with compassion inwardly and to put forth his arm of power outwardly. He was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. He was moved by it. Who carried the sorrows. Who wept later at the grave of Lazarus. A heart is breaking in the Saviour as he sees all this mass of fallen humanity before him. In all the miseries they're undergoing in their bodies, knowing it's an enemy that's done this, it's sin that's done this. Now, if Christ did that with the symptoms of sin, with physical disease, surely he's got compassion in his heart for the thing that causes it all, for the poor sinner under his sin. He's got a compassion for you to deal with the sin, the disease within, the spiritual sin. To lay his hands upon your soul, to heal you of that, the iniquity that rages within, to deal with your heart as an individual, will you not then have personal dealings with himself? Surely that's in it. He didn't lay his hands upon these people to benefit their bodies. That was totally unnecessary. He could heal them with just the word, or just the look. He put his hands upon their bodies to encourage their souls, so that through that physical contact between Christ and each sick one, there would be a picture of what spiritually is needed. A spiritual contact between Christ the Saviour and yourself the sinner, to be healing you of your spiritual disease, healing your loved one of spiritual disease. What tenderness, what love, what mercy. He laid his hands on each one of them, each one in turn, and healed them. Healing, though, that came only by contact with himself. Oh, then what we're in need of is a personal attachment to Jesus Christ. What we're in need of is a personal, individual union with the Savior. Christ reaching forth his hand, laying it upon our diseased souls, to convey healing inwardly, spiritual healing, to bring the grace of the everlasting gospel, to convey pardon to us, and to convey his Holy Spirit to us, the Spirit of regeneration, to grant to us a new life, a life that will work against sin, a life of grace and of the Holy Spirit. Well, Christ dealing with diseases. We've all got diseases. Oh, that we'd bring our diseases to him. We've all got diseased ones, yet lying dead in sin. Oh, that we'd be bringing them to a Saviour that can heal each one in turn. He did it before. Why then may he not do it now? Let us believe him and apply to him in faith. Now, secondly, we have Christ dealing with demons. And this is in verse 41. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And as we said before, we're not focusing so much in our days upon cases of express demon possession, as were so frequent and common during the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're dealing with devilish characteristics, devilish influences, demonic forces, spiritual wickedness that's always operating as worldly and godly people walk not only according to the course of this world, but also according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the prince of this world. So we do not have to be possessed by the devil to be devilish. And if we think of what the devil is like and what his fallen angels are like, those that are called the devils here, or the Greek word is where we get our Greek word demon, where we get our English word demon from. And demons also came out of many, and there were many then in Capernaum possessed by devils, but there are many in the world today that are influenced more by the devil than by God. And all you have to do is go along with the world, and there you are. You're under the influence of the devil more than under the influence of God. Because this world has a god, and that's the devil. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of it, and goes up and down in it. But of what nature is this devil, and of what nature are these demons? Here they were, possessing these people. Was it for their good or for their harm? It was not for their good. It was for their harm. The devil is the destroyer. He's Apollyon. He's destructive. Then whenever we see in ourselves or others destructive tendencies, that which destroys rather than builds up, that which harms rather than helps, you may say there is a characteristic of the devil. There is the spirit of Apollyon. We're not saying there is a demon-possessed person. We're saying there is a demon-influenced person. There is a devilish characteristic. When people give themselves over to pulling down and to destroying rather than to repairing and building up, that's devilish. That's not just sin, that's devilish sin. What else do we have the devil characterized by? We have him characterized as deceitful. So he's the father of lies. He's a liar himself, and he's the father of liars. Those that then lie, those that are not careful with the truth, those that are ready to deceive, those whose word cannot be trusted, well then, that's another devilish characteristic. He's the deceiver. And you know, the devil's at work in someone's heart and life when that person cannot be believed, cannot be trusted, when you don't know, or when they speak, whether this is true or that's true. You know, that's a mark of the devil. That's a mark of this horrible beast, this liar from the pit. It's devilish. So the devil, a destroyer, destructive, to pull down, to harm, to hurt, rather than seeking opportunities of good. The devil, a deceiver and a liar, a cheat, one that cannot ever be trusted. He was a liar from the beginning. Thou shalt not surely die, he said. Surely they were going to die, and die they did. But the devil is also divisive. He's a divider, he's a separator. He glories in setting one against another. And so there's another aspect of a devilish character, a mark of a Satan being at work, where divisions are caused, where instead of endeavours to maintain a unity amongst the brethren, or in a family, in the bond of peace, there is instead behaviour which has the effect of dividing and separating. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses them to God's face. He accuses them to their own faces. And he's accusing them to one another as well. So where you have allegations being made which bring division, which separate, that's a devilish thing. This is the devil's character. This is the devil at work. Mark him out. Behold him. We don't need demon possession to see demons at work in our day. They're at work. And these are the ways they manifest themselves. Devils also, the devil himself, are rebellious. They have a problem with the fifth commandment. They will not submit to authority. The devil, and therefore those who are devilish in their character, that's something that's going to manifest itself over and over and over again in different positions with different people. They will not want to accept their position as inferiors and give due respect to those who are superiors to them. Friends, that is devilish. That's the character of the devil. That's the condemnation. That's the pride of the creature, the fallen creature, the devil. And when we've got that within us, that is devilish. Oh, we have these things. We have people who have these things. Here they had them. Not only that were diseased with sin, they had them that were possessed with devils. Here we have not only sin at work among us, in our own hearts and the hearts of those near and dear to us. But we have the devil at work as well. We have all these marks, all these footprints of the devil himself, making himself known in such a desperate, vile way. But there's hope here too. Those that were possessed with devils in Capernaum at the start of that Sabbath day were not possessed with devils at the end of the day. It wasn't just the one man in the synagogue that had the unclean spirit that was delivered, but it was all of them that were delivered. And we're told that the devils also came out of many. That's not meaning that there were others out of whom the devils did not come, but it means there were many with devils and the devils came out of them, because the Savior was commanding the devil to come out of them with his word, as other gospel accounts show us. The Savior has great power. He is stronger than the strong one. Devilish power is strong, and it's stronger than human power. But this man, Christ Jesus, had power that was stronger than mere human power. He is indeed the Son of God. And he had the Holy Spirit without measure. And the devils knew what they'd met with. They'd met with superior power. They had met with supreme power. They had met with power that they could not resist or refuse. The devils came out of many, not because they wanted to come out, but because they were forced to come out. They did not come out willingly, but unwillingly. But there was not a thing they could do about it. They had to go. They hated it that they came out. When they came out crying out. That is, shrieking in an agony, in a frustration, full of enmity, forced out against their will. Crying out and saying, being forced to acknowledge a power superior to their own. Thou art Christ, the Son of God. Thou art Messiah. Thou art anointed. This power we're meeting with is not the power that we, the fallen devils, have. It's not creature power. This is creator power. This is the power of the Anointed One, Prophet, Priest and King. This is the power of the Redeemer. This is the power of the seed of the woman, the one we've been spending all our lives trying to stop coming into the world. And now we meet with him and there's nothing we can do to stop him. He's stronger than the strong, and he's coming and he's disarming us. And he's taking from us the goods that we've been possessing of the souls of men. And we hate it. But we have to acknowledge that he's the Christ, that he is, who is Son of Man, also Son of God. The unclean spirit in the synagogue had said that he was the Holy One of God. I know thee, who thou art, verse 34, the Holy One of God. Well, now add to that, he's the Christ. Add to that, he's the Son of God. The devils in Capernaum knew exactly who it was that was in Capernaum. Most of the people of Capernaum, though they were wise enough to apply for Christ's outward benefits before the setting, before the sun went down that day, yet they did not know who he was, most of them. They did not come to him as the Christ, the Son of God, the Holy One of God, for the salvation of their souls. The deliverance of their bodies from disease, yes. The deliverance from all the evil, horrid effects of demon possession, yes. But from a devilish character, no. From the disease of sin, no. Are we wiser than the people of Capernaum? We know surely, and we believe at least what the demons believe, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the only Redeemer, and the Son of God, God in human nature, Emmanuel, God with us, who has power over sin and power over the devil. But are we wise enough to do anything about it? Are we wise enough spiritually to do what the Capernaum people did outwardly? Are we wise enough to come and say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Therefore rescue me from my demons. Rescue me from my devilish characteristics. Heal me of my sinful diseases. Rescue my loved ones from the sway of the evil one. Rescue them from the devil. Rescue them from the disease of sin. Rescue them from those things that are destroying them. As the destroyer, the deceiver, the divider, the rebel makes himself known, forming his own character in their lives more and more. Are we wise enough to do what we ought to do? To bring ourselves and others to the Lord Jesus Christ. To bring them to Him that He would cast out by irresistible power all devilish characteristics and heal us of our diseases. There's just one other thing to remember, and that is how the Saviour rebuked them, suffering them not to speak. They knew that He was Christ. And they were saying the truth, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. But they were the wrong ones to be saying it. The Saviour would receive no testimony from these evil spirits, these demons that had possessed these people in Capernaum. It was a testimony of truth, but it was a testimony from a wrong source. We sang there again in the 50th Psalm, where God says to the wicked, what hast thou to do to have the words of my covenant in your mouths? If we're living devilish lives, Christ does not want our testimony. If we're using our mouths to lie, He'd rather we'd say nothing about Him, the way, the truth and the life. If we're devoting our bodies and the course of our lives to sin and iniquity, if we're living more like devils than men, then the Saviour would rather we would say nothing about Himself at all until devilish characteristics are dealt with, until He deals with our souls and heals us. If we've got knees that will not bow to Christ in secret, willingly, lovingly, cheerfully, these devils were being forced, as it were, to bow and to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But if we've not got knees in our souls willingly, daily, to go down before Him, acknowledging our sin, acknowledging our devilishness, and pleading with Him to heal us and deliver us from it. If we've not got that, He'd rather we would say nothing about Him and who He is and His glory and His truth. He suffered them not to speak. You may know that He's Christ, but if you're denying Him, if you're rejecting Him, if you're living in such a way that you would bring reproach upon His name, that if you would cause His name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles, if you opened your mouth to speak of Him, then He'd rather you'd close your mouth. But not to keep it shut, but to use your mouth to call upon His name, to deliver you, to rescue you, to save you from the disease of sin, and to save you from the character of the devil, and then to praise His name, to then to witness upon His side, to then point people to Himself. There's almost nothing so nauseating as people whose lives are just a disgrace and yet want to carp on and on and on and talk about spiritual things. It was nauseating to Christ. It should be nauseating to us. It's a vile thing. If that's you, then it's better. You have dealings with Christ about your sin and about your devilishness And when he starts to deal with that for you, that's the time to speak of who he is to others. But first of all, there's things to be done in your own soul. Well, Christ deals with diseases. He deals with devils. Isn't that what we need? Isn't that what we all need? Isn't that what our loved ones need? Christ is the one we need. He deals with the diseases of sin. He deals with the characteristics of the devil. Let's all be found then at his feet before the sun sets on this day, having real dealings with Christ. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord Most High, we pray thee that thou would deliver us from the diseases of sin and from the characteristics of the devil, that thou would lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ today, that we'd go to him spiritually for what the people of Capernaum went to him for physically and outwardly. Oh, that we'd have dealings with the Saviour, and oh, that he'd deal with our diseases that remain, that he'd deal with all devilish, demonic characteristics in us, and that he'd bring us to be witnesses upon his side, witnesses that he would delight to hear, speaking upon his side. O Lord, we pray thee, deliver us all from the evil of our own wicked hearts. And O Lord, help us to plead with thee at a throne of grace continually, believing thee to be as thou revealest thyself to be in these two verses. A Saviour ready to save. A Saviour able to deliver. One that hears. One that will help and give grace when it pleases him according to his power and love. O Lord, be moved with compassion at our own plight and the plight of those who are near and dear to us. Bring them to salvation. We pray, forgive our sins in speaking and hearing. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. We shall sing to conclude in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. At verse 17, fools for their sin and their offence do sore affliction bear. O kind of meat their soul abhors, they to death's gates draw near. In grief they cry to God, he saves them from their miseries. He sends his word, them heals, and them from their destructions frees. O that men to the Lord would give praise for his goodness then, and for his works of wonder done unto the sons of men, and let them sacrifice to him offerings of thankfulness, and let them show abroad his works in songs of joyfulness. From verse 17, these four stanzas, fools for their sin and their offense do sore affliction bear.
Who's for them? Thank you.
God willing, the evening services here in Cheadle at 6 p.m. Prayer meetings this week on Wednesday at Sandbach at 8 p.m. and Barnoldswick Friday at 7:30 p.m. All the Lord willing. And I should also intimate, it being the first Sabbath of the month, the collection for the central funds is for the Sustentation Fund. We conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.